Welcome to Women on the Line, a community radio national feminist current affairs program featuring the voices of women and gender diverse people. Produced at 3CR Community Radio in Nam, Melbourne, and broadcast nationally on the Community Radio Network. I'm your host, Carnegie. Women on the Line recognizes that this program is produced and presented on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations, and that their sovereignty was never ceded. On this episode of Women on the Line, we hear from Emma Valente, one of the co-artistic directors of the Rabble Theatre. Emma talks to us about their new Fringe Festival show, Unwoman, The Protest, a durational artwork celebrating the multitude of experiences around birth, fertility, and pregnancy.
Thanks for having me. I am a theatre maker. I've been making theatre for nearly 30 years, not quite. And when I was studying to be a theatre maker, I met my art partner, Kate Davis, when we were 18 and 19, and we've been making work together ever since. We had a little baby company when we first started, and then in 2006 we formed The Rabble, which is the company we still have today. So next year will be our 20th birthday. So that's really exciting. And this is a partnership where we create work together. We design the work, we direct the work. The work started out as being sort of exclusively theatre, but it's now kind of spanning out into more community engaged work and different kinds of events and visual art as well. So we make across the kind of whole art form spectrum. And we have a very particular kind of feminist politic, and most of the work is really aimed at expressing that politic somehow, maybe in really obvious ways or maybe in more subtle ways, depending on the work.
Amazing. What is it like working with someone for so long?
Look, it's the biggest gift that I've been given in terms of art making. I really respond to other people and creating ideas with other voices, and to have met Kate at such a formative stage, and that we have sort of created our artistic identities together, but we've also been able to go off and have very different careers in different spaces as well, and to come back together all the time. I am just grateful and know now how lucky it is. At the time, I didn't understand it when we met, how fortunate it is to meet someone who you really understand artistically and have a way of working that is almost frictionless in terms of building ideas together.
Yeah, and I mean, the amount people grow from the age of 18 adulthood, that's massive that you've grown together and are still managing to work together and create such amazing art.
Yeah, it is amazing, and you know, you don't know who you're going to turn into when you're 18, and lots of artistic partnerships grow apart. And it just hasn't happened to us, and I don't really know what the special sauce is, but it seems like every time one of us grows, the other one sort of like grows too, maybe in a slightly different way. And I think we are constantly going into other spaces and making work with other people, and we are actually just reminded how great it is to work together when we do that. So we're learning lots of new things and learning from other people when we work. But when we come back together, we're like, oh, this is like home. This is where we belong.
So the Rabble is doing a performance for Fringe Festival next month called Unwoman, The Protest. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, in 2018, together with an Irish artist, we made a work called Unwoman, which was a theatre show, and which was also premiered in 2019 in Melbourne at the Substation. And that show was about bodily autonomy around pregnancy and birth, and really trying to sort of reinvent the what it means to be pregnant, or like what is the pregnant silhouette, and what are the different ways we can kind of smash the assumptions around the silhouette. And the show was in three parts, and in between each part, we had a 14-year-old read out a real testimony that people had sent in to us around their experiences of birth, of pregnancy, of abortion, miscarriage, fertility, everything you can think of. And she just read them out, and it just in between the parts of the theatre show, and it just struck us how different the testimony was, how many different kinds of experiences people had, and how desperately people wanted to express these experiences and opinions, and that there wasn't really many spaces where they could do that. And even some people felt like it was taboo to talk about even miscarriage or abortion, even with their very close friends, much less in a kind of public setting. And so when we were making that show, we imagined an event where people could say this kind of testimony in real life. So that's what we're doing. We've kept the show name Unwoman, but in brackets, we're calling it a protest, where we're giving people the opportunity to say a very short testimony around their experiences with this subject matter. And it's a durational event. It goes for around about 4 hours. We expect to have about 200 participants. And we've got about 100 so far. So we're really excited. And for an audience, people will come along and hear the testimony, and there'll also be sort of musical interludes and breaks for like respite, I guess. But we think like hearing these stories one after another will give people a real insight and understanding into the kind of multitude of experiences, and it will hopefully go some way to breaking down the conceptions we have.
Yeah, I think for me, when I read about Unwoman, for me, it hits really close to home because my partner and I are a queer couple, and we, did IVF, and we had a very different experience to a lot of people around us to have a baby. And through all that, we were very happy to chat about it all. We were very vocal about it all, the ups, the downs, the kind of hardships, the stuff that was easy. And we found that it was always met with a bit of silence from people who had their own experiences, from people who didn't, like just across the board. So yeah, I guess I wanted to ask, why do you think that talking about the spectrum of experiences is so contentious? Like, why is there so much silence around it?
I think that it there's such a huge societal expectation around parenthood and what it should be like and how you should feel about it and how it should go right from conception. This is how it should go. And I think when people have difficulty or encounter tragedy, even they feel like they have failed in some way. Maybe they feel like their body has failed. Maybe they feel like they've done something wrong. And there is so much judgment around how it should be done. What are the processes? And this continues right through parenthood. And this is how a family should look. And these are the people that should be involved in how a family is made up, and also the laws and the medical system are just reinforcing this, even with the language that they use, and birthing classes, and And people get assume that they have to do it a certain way, including wanting to have children in the first place. And I should say that this is open to everyone over the age of 16, all genders, all experiences. You don't have to have a uterus. You don't have to have children. You don't have to want to have children. We want to hear from absolutely everyone. You might be 16 and going, I have no idea yet. And all of that is, we want to include all of that. But I feel like the intensity of the emotion and the expectation around birth and fertility is so huge that people actually just don't want to talk about it in case they encounter judgment or in case they accidentally open up something that's painful for someone as well.
You know, there's been a huge issue with midwife burnout in Australia because midwives are just kind of not being listened to, and there's so much focus on the medical experience as opposed to like the experience of the birthing person, or trusting yourself, trusting your instinct. And I just wonder about that as well. Like the whole spectrum of experiences has kind of been removed from the self almost. Like you're saying, it's about societal expectations and it's about, you know, fitting into, I guess, really heteronormative or like really small little like made up norms.
Yeah, exactly. Even the assumptions that might come along with in a queer couple about who is birthing the child and the way that people get spoken to in the medical system just reinforces those kind of often the kind of heteronormative assumptions, but also the medical system can be quite scary, and it can be really difficult to advocate for yourself or even get different kinds of information about the different ways things might happen and what you have to do and what you don't have to do. And I think that, like, hopefully, this event can help that a little bit with just such an extensive kind of sharing of knowledge and understanding and experience. People who watch it, or even people who are in it, can see the different pathways that might be available.
Absolutely. What do you think from your experiences, from your conversations with people, and from the previous performances you've done along these lines, what are some of the experiences that are often missing from sort of mainstream discourse or just experiences that are not commonly discussed?
I think it's changing a little bit now, but in 2019, being like having a uterus and not wanting children was incredibly taboo. And I think that people were often having to sort of defend themselves over and over and over again. I think that abortion and miscarriage and stillbirth are still incredibly taboo subjects and things that people find incredibly difficult to find a place to talk about and find a community to talk about it with. I think that the experience that you described of sometimes talking about things, even the hard things, and people's just sort of glazing over, or maybe like getting scared, not knowing what to say. I think we need to like practice these kinds of conversations as communities and get used to that like difficult and uncomfortable feeling. So there are a few things that people were really, really wanted to speak about. Also, like just different ways of making family. And people just saying, I'm so happy being an auntie. I have an amazing relationship with my nephews and nieces, or like I'm a step parent and I didn't think I wanted children, but now I'm in this position where I'm getting to experience this in a different way. Or, there's four or five of us in a house that are making a family together, and there's a couple of kids, but we have different relationships. And that, I guess, having intimate relationships with young people doesn't necessarily require you to have genetics in the game.
Exactly, that's such a big part of queer family making.
And it's not, it's not necessarily, the be all and end all of being a parent. It's more about who shows up and who gives love.
I think another thing I found in this kind of space is people don't often have positive birth stories, which we found a bit disheartening. And then we were lucky enough to have a really positive birth and have a very unique experience. It seems to be quite rare. So are you hoping to hear, some really positive stories from people as well?
Absolutely. Definitely. We want happy stories. We want funny stories. And I think that this is part of the silencing as well, is that people who have had a really positive experience sometimes feel quite timid about sharing that experience with other people because they know that so many other people have difficult experiences. And it can feel like competitive or judgmental, but absolutely, we want to hear those joyful stories as well, and allow them to sit alongside, the stories of disappointment or stories that have difficult moments in them.
And what's the significance of doing this in such a public civic space?
We wanted to do it in a space where, so the event's free. We wanted to do it in a space where people could just come, and that people could be walking past and just stay for 20 minutes of the 4 hours, and that it wasn't sort of locked away in a room somewhere, in a black box somewhere. And that we might get a, this is people can book and come, but also we might get a happenstance audience as well. And also we're calling it a protest, and it's not a protest in a kind of traditional form, but we want to like raise our voices and allow people to be heard, and being in a kind of civic space is really part of that, and particularly Fed Square, which is this kind of central space in Melbourne, and everyone knows what it is and where it is, and that was definitely a big part of choosing that venue.
And what are you hoping that the both the performers and I mean people who might participate and people who might be watching, what are you hoping both will gain from this performance?
I think it's hopefully a cathartic experience for both sides, for the participants and for people who are watching. I think that it is very brave to just stand up and say what your experience is, no matter what that experience is. And I think that what we hope is that that will come with some empowerment and a feeling like you can speak about it more in public once you sort of cross that threshold. We also hope that there's some this kind of bonding between participants, and I think we hope that the audience will just have a little change of perspective. And that might be reflected in their own experience and a change of perspective of their own experience, or it might be a change in perspective of birthing in general. And it might make someone open up a possibility for someone, or it might make someone feel more confident about the decisions that they've made and hopefully seeing themselves reflected in some way.
Yeah, I feel like that's always very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And the little moments that we sort of did the testimony in the other show, and we've also done a development on this show with just a very small amount of people, and the experience of watching it and just watching people be so brave is really quite something and really very moving.
Definitely. So if people are listening and they want to participate, what can they do?
They can go to our website and click on Unwoman the Protest link. So our website is therabble.com.au, and there's a big button there that says register here, and you'll click through to a form that has a bunch of information, and it's a very easy form, and then we'll get back to you with how to participate. And if you want to book a ticket, you can go to the Melbourne Fringe website and search up Unwoman the Protest, and you'll find us there.
Amazing. And if someone's listening and they're interested, but they're feeling some reservations, what would you say to them?
I would say that it is like just click the link and have a read. It's not like binding you into something forever. And that also, we don't just push people up on stage. They come and do a workshop with us. And if you're feeling tentative and you're not sure, just come and do the workshop. And you can decide after that if it's something that you want to do. But we help you every single step of the way. We'll help you form your testimony. We'll help you get the courage to perform it, and we'll surround you with beautiful people and hopefully some nice food as well.
That's great. It's a safe space, supportive.
Yeah.
I love it.
By the parking when I taste my heartbeat and drive.
That song was Touchy Subject by Peach PRC. We just heard from Emma Valente, co-director of The Rabble, talking to us about their upcoming performance, Unwoman the Protest. If you want to be part of the show and share your experience, you can go to therabble.com.au and click on Unwoman the Protest. The show is free and will be performed at Fed Square on Sunday, the 5th of October. To book a spot, go to melbournefringe.com.au. We will include these links in our episode show notes at 3cr.org.au/womenontheline. The theme music for Women on the Line is by Ripley Kavara. Women on the Line programs can be downloaded at 3cr.org.au/womenontheline. I'm Kanagi. Tune in to Women on the Line next week on your community radio station.